ओम शांति। सो द वर्ड एफर्ट सीम्स लाइक लेबर, हार्ड वर्क, मे बी इवन अ स्ट्रगल। What other word can we use for effort? Progress. And I think everybody is interested in spiritual progress. This is why we decided to come to Madhuban even. A long journey, not such an easy journey, but we all decided it was important to come because it's important for our spiritual progress. But also maybe we could call it our passion. Is it my passion to move forward spiritually? And maybe it is. There's a word that Daddy uses very often when she's talking about creating a stage, making effort. And she says there should be the hobby. So is it my hobby to make effort? Is it my hobby to remember Baba? So yes, it's valuable to find words that are comfortable for me and to identify those words and use them for myself. If there are words that are uncomfortable, then let me play around with it and see what Baba really means, and there'll be something that touches me and makes it easy for me. Because definitely Baba wants to make the path as easy as possible for all of us. This is why again and again Baba will say, don't even use the word yoga. Just remembrance, just natural, a flow of energy, of love. But in fact the word that we translate as effort, and it's an accurate translation, but if we break down the word purusharat, that's the word we're normally translating as spiritual endeavor or effort. So the word purusharat breaks down into two bits. Purush, the living being, and it's the masculine, because usually it's used in contrast to prakriti, nature, matter, that which is non-living, and then the living being, purush. Prakriti, Purush, both those words often are put together. So Purush and then Earth, for the sake of. So whatever it is I'm doing for the sake of the spirit, for the sake of the soul, for the sake of the living being. And so you can see it's a very, very broad range of activity. Thoughts, words, actions, feelings. Everything is within what it is Baba's teaching us to do for spiritual progress. So the question that I have, is my life really putting this at the heart of everything? That whatever else it is I do, the actual intention, the motivation for me, the purpose for me is that there should be spiritual progress? Or is it that, well, you know, I have to balance everything. I have to balance lokik, alokik, health and service, and there can be many things that we talk about. And yes, in a way, perfect balance is what effort is about. But yet, even within balance, there'll always be a list of prioritization. And so what is it that I'm giving priority to in my life? And if my life is about Baba and Sangam Yug, then I also know that the speed with which I have to make my effort to catch up in a short space of time is not infinite. And just like people in the world out there think that material resources are infinite. There can be infinite growth. Sometimes Brahmins also feel, well, there's a lot of time still. Who knows how much longer? And so then instead of making spiritual endeavor my passion or the priority in my life, then I start looking at other things around. But I think that the signals from the world are very much that there isn't infinite time. It isn't even that there's a long time still, but rather there's really quite a finite space. And I don't know how long. Baba hasn't told us, so I can't tell you. But I don't really know. But I do know that hearing the news, reading the news about Belgium and the latest explosions there, and then I'm getting messages from Turkey, they are still reeling from all the blasts that have happened there. So all the things that Baba had predicted are actually happening right now. It's now. It's not that we're going to see these things later on, but we're actually seeing all of these things happen at this moment. And so what is our response to all of that? Am I going to rush off and join the Red Cross to be able to try and help them? Well, there are probably lots of people who are doing that and very much more qualified people than me. And what Baba has said is that, A, we should send out Baba's light, Baba's love, Baba's peace to wherever we know all this is going on. But also, we know that time is waiting for us. As we speed up our efforts and come to our own final state of purity, it's going to be the power of purity that tips the balance away from the negative to the positive, from the dark to the light. Our quality of purity, our degree of purity, collectively, is going to make the difference to be able to let all souls be liberated and go home. And so when Baba sometimes says, can you not hear the cries of those in distress? It's a very poignant thing. I don't know whether you've ever heard physically, literally, someone cry out in distress. It's heart-wrenching. And most times you don't know what to do. You feel helpless about it. But Baba's saying, don't be helpless, don't be scared. But what is it that you can do? What Baba's telling us to do. And so my question, why is it that effort sometimes seems like hard work? And I think for most of us, we've been through phases when you're experiencing Baba's love and everything is easy, things are moving forward. And then there are times when it's not so easy. And from today's Murli, again, what I understood was effort becomes easy and fast if I'm following Srimad, Baba's instructions. And that's a very big canopy. Many things come under Srimad. But there was a very interesting example that Baba had given a long time ago. And that was that if your vision is clear, then you see the path ahead very clearly. If your sight is not quite okay, then instead of seeing one path, your eyes play games and you're not quite sure, is it here, is it here? There seem to be two paths. I've been through the experience of having problems with my eyes, and so I know what that's like. I don't know whether anybody's experienced that. And so when you're seeing clearly, it's one straight path. And so keeping the third eye open is a little bit like that. No confusion, no question. I can see the path very, very clearly. And it's the path of Srimad. And when the eye has been a little bit blurred, the vision is a bit blurred, something's got into my eye and it's causing me a bit of a problem. And Baba Yushi says, that's criticism. Something getting into your eye is criticism of others. So the vision gets a bit blurred, then I can't see, then I can't know exactly what it is that Srimad's asking of me. And so that's when we don't just slow down, but then the going gets a bit heavy and we're not feeling that help from above and that support. So keep the third eye open and you'll see the straight line of Srimad and it'll be very, very easy. And according to the present moment, what would you say is the most important Srimad? When I reflect on that, for me, it's the whole subject of my thoughts. The time when Sakar Baba used to say, at least follow Baba's disciplines in your actions, in your life. And it's okay if there are storms that come in your mind, never mind, keep going. And yes, that's absolutely true even today. But from the Avyakt Muralis, and not just now this minute, but over the last little while, in fact, I would say as soon as Baba became Avyakt, from that moment on, Baba started telling us about the importance of thoughts and how negative thoughts, of course, at some point, and I think it's still valid for some, you allow a waste thought to come and you don't deal with it very quickly, that negative thought is going to come through into action at some point or another. So important to deal with negativity very quickly, to identify it. Today Baba spoke about the importance of the power to discern and the power to decide. And so that third eye being wide open and very clear, so that I can identify that it is a negative thought. And so let me be able to pick up on even the slightest negativity that comes and to be able to deal with it very fast so that it doesn't take hold of me and come through into action. I think why negativity takes hold of us is because we don't realize at that moment that it is negative. And so it's a thought, it's come, so what? And so we don't give it that attention and deal with it very quickly. And so it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And so first step, let me deal with negative things. And it was very interesting. A couple of months ago, there were 2-3 muralis in which Baba spoke about how as you're going through the process of cleansing and you're going from tamo, the negative state, to rajo, the middling state, and then sattu, and sattu, that's the start of the silver age, and then sattu pradhan, the fullness of that pure state in the golden age. But Baba said that for the vast majority, where we're still pulled by the physical senses, that's still that middling stage of Raju. It's good that we all study the same lesson the same day nowadays, because all of you would have studied that particular lesson. And it was a strong really, the few that I'm talking about that came in between, and it was very categorical. Still being pulled by the physical senses, and the soul is still going in that journey back, it's at that middle level, the Kopa age, Raju stage. And if I think about the food that we like, that we enjoy, if I think about what it is that gives us pleasure still, and Baba's not wanting us to be sannyasis and let go of the world and go off into the jungle or wear a hair shirt or make effort in that external level in any way, but yet to go beyond the senses. A little example. When Mama would have her meal, and then the person who had been serving, afterwards they would eat, and they'd come back and say to Mama, "Mama, but why didn't you say anything? There was no salt in the food." And Mama had quietly eaten the food, and it didn't have any salt, but she could easily have asked for it. She could easily have commented on it. But no, Mama just quietly ate it. And she then told the sister that it was Brahma Bhojan. And so it was fine. For those who don't eat any salt, that's fine anyway. But Mama normally would have the regular food, which did have salt. And by chance that day, there hadn't been anything. So if you're used to it and you don't get it, there is a trigger that says, you know, let me reach out and get it. But for Mama, absolute equanimity. No thought about it on any level whatsoever. And so going beyond the senses. Just think about what happens with the space of a day. Or even think about what's going to happen between now and when you go to sleep. And just keep checking. Are the physical senses still pulling me? And maybe you'll find a few interesting things about yourself. But the subject of thoughts. And so yes, the thought comes and then I speak about it, then I do something about it. But the thing that Baba's really been cautioning us a lot about is the whole subject of waste thoughts. And it's very interesting. Out of the space of an hour, maybe I think that the thoughts I'm having are useful, they're related to my work or whatever, whatever. But are my thoughts actually creative thoughts? Are my thoughts based on truth, on reality, gyan, Baba's versions? And how much time out of an hour? Now you're not at work, you're in Madhuban. And now, out of an hour, how much of my time is actually being used on that level of pure, noble thoughts, thoughts based on truth? I love it when I discover how science today is able to validate the things that Baba has been telling us. And I'd like to share a recent experience that I had. Trish mentioned that I've just come back from some service which was in Chennai, used to be called Madras, so some of you may know it, some of you may have been there. But there was a program in which they had very interesting speakers, a full day program, and it was targeting IT people, and it was called Leadership 2.0, different style of leadership to the normal one, which is something that they now talk about apparently. I didn't know. And the morning was about emotional health, and the afternoon was about compassionate leadership. And why they chose these subjects is because it's probably the same in every other profession abroad, but certainly here in India, apparently within the IT industry, huge number of suicides and stress to the point of total breakdown and burnout, etc. So these ideas, emotional health and compassionate leadership. And they had about 650 people come for that. So Baba's Gyan is applicable on all levels. So emotional health, yes, definitely Baba's Gyan fits in there. But I want to describe something that a man called Dr. Bruce Lipton from the USA spoke about. He's the author of a book called The Biology of Belief. And within the space of an hour, his presentation took us on his journey from the point where he didn't really believe. He wouldn't have said, I believe or I don't believe, but he didn't really believe. But he's a cell biologist, and his experiments and his research into cell biology and how cells function and genetic factors within all of that brought him to certain very interesting conclusions. One was that it isn't our genes that control our destiny. Baba tells us that it's not your genes that control your destiny. It's the soul that decides destiny and your karma that then determines it. But here's a scientist able to prove it step by step. Very interesting. The second thing that he was able to prove through his journey from 1967 through all his experiments till recent times. And so the second thing that he was able to prove was that the soul is separate from the brain, because so often scientists have mixed it up and say, well, it's an epiphenomenon of the brain, our thinking, our feeling, our experiences. The third thing he was able to explain through all of this was that 90% of the time we're working with acquired tendencies based on the input we've had from probably age zero to seven, from our parents, siblings, environment, whoever was around. And we've forgotten what it is to really have creative thinking, because 90% of the time, when it's the acquired tendencies that we're working with, the patterns of thinking that happen are based on those. Now, you can see why I'm talking about this. Baba's told us, your sanskars, 1/10 the visible, 9/10 are hidden below the surface like the iceberg, and you don't even know your own sanskars. Is that true? Maybe now you know your own sanskars, but when you began the journey of Raj Yoga, did you know your own sanskars? I'd be the first one to say, I had no idea of my sanskars. Well, I came to Baba 19, so by age 19, I don't know how many of you knew what you were really like. Some of you maybe, but I didn't. Or even later in age, in life, maybe you still don't know, and maybe it's still a journey of discovery. In another context this morning, I was thinking of how here's a person who's really being influenced by Maya. And others around them can see they're really caught by Maya. But the person in that trap of Maya, what would they say? I'm fine. I'm okay. That's probably what they would say. And others around them are seeing it, but they're not able to see it themselves. And so my sanskars, are others seeing my sanskars, and am I not seeing my own sanskars? It's quite possible. But the reality for everyone, and then Brahmins start understanding this and start changing the mechanism about it, but 90% of the time it's just the acquired tendencies. And for us, we would say it's not just a question of the impact of the environment, but it's also the sanskars of many births. And afterwards I was talking to him about this, and he's only now being introduced to Eastern concepts. So the concept of rebirth was, he was open to it, but it's a new concept for him, because age 0 to 7, that was his understanding. But 9/10, the sanskars of the recent past that we're working with. And so naturally, when it's all of those that are pushing me in a specific direction, then what's the quality of my thinking? If my behavior, my thinking is based on all of that, then what happened to creative thinking? What happened to thinking which is not my usual pattern of thinking? And so the other thing that, again, was being validated for me was when Daddy Janki always tells us, don't think. And how many of us have reacted to Daddy saying that? How is it possible not to think? How can I live my life if I'm not thinking? But he was using precisely that same term. The thinking that we have comes from the 90%, the acquired tendencies. And so his point was, don't think. He didn't use the expression, but he very clearly showed it on his chart. The thinking is connected with this. And so, waste thoughts, ordinary thoughts. Okay, waste, I can see how the energy level that I had, what happened to that? Came down and down and down and down. And I know that even if I would have said, well, it's important that I was thinking about this, but the fact that my energy level has come down, that should tell me that it's not the type of thinking that Baba would want me to have. Baba wants me to use every moment of my time to be on the upward stage, going upwards continually. And so the ascending energy and the declining energy, well, we've been part of the descending energy, the declining energy for half a cycle. And now, only now, in this very, very short space of time, is it possible for us to go the other way. And the only thing that I have to be aware of is that maybe the checking point that I can use for myself is this the way I used to think, or is it the way Baba wants me to think? Big difference. In any situation, I see you, and what are the thoughts that come? The thoughts that I used to have, or is it now the thoughts that Baba wants me to have? Very different. And so this is why Baba says, follow the father. And so Baba and Mama, and yes, Baba spoke about them today, reaching that stage in which they became Karmatit way, way before anyone else. Baba made 33 years of effort. Baba's journey had started even before Gyan, but after Baba's incarnation, then 33 years. And Mama, 20-something years, because she left in 65 and Baba a few years later. So 29 years, something like that. Just imagine, some of us have been in Gyan 25 years. Anyone here 25 years in Gyan? One, two, three, few. Okay, translation's taking time. Okay, some. But Mama, 29 years, and she was Karmatit. That's it. But I mean, if I put it in another way, in 18 months, Mama had become Mama. So much transformation that already she was being acknowledged as the mother of the community. She was already playing that role before Baba gave her that title, in a sense that because she was following Baba's instructions immediately, so quickly, that they'd have heard them really, everyone, and then they'd see it in Mama's life, and so they'd come to Mama and say, "But Mama, how did you do this? How did you make it happen so quickly?" And then she would take them through the detail of what it is she was doing within. And so that sort of sustenance and care and inspiration and support for the family was already in place. And then, after that, Baba gave her the title, Mama. It usually happens in Baba's work that you do the work, you play the role, the title comes afterwards. Nobody told Daddy Janki, "You're going to be the Director of Foreign Services." But Baba sent her there, she just went, and instead of a month, it became a year, it became 40 years. And by the end of those 40 years, yes, of course, there was the title. But she didn't say, "Okay, give me the job description, give me the designation, and then I'll see if I want to do it or not." Very interesting. She just did it. And so too with Mama. She just did it. And then the job description came and the title came later. So within a very short space of time, souls making effort just simply by following the guidelines that Baba is giving. And so this moment, what is the quality of my thinking? And what is my thinking based on? We should find a new word for thinking when it comes from the original pure Satupradhan sanskars rather than the other sanskars that we're trying to finish. But you can see how when science is validating these things, to me it's again a signal that we're coming to the point where really everything has been revealed to the world in such a visible way that it's not going to be challenged anymore. So that again gives me an indication of time. So what is my effort now? I would say it's the whole process of cleansing. For my thoughts to be pure and noble and elevated, to be based on truth all the time. When we're sitting in yoga, that's what we're doing. We're very careful about what it is we're doing with our mind. And yoga only happens when you have pure thoughts. Those pure thoughts are your communication with God. Think about things here. God is up in his heaven and we're down here below. But when I'm careful about the quality of my thinking, then those thoughts lead me to that connection with God. Basic definition of yoga. And that's fine for 3 minutes, for 5 minutes, for however long. But what about the rest of the day? Surely my yoga should also be able to impact what I'm doing the rest of the day. And it also goes the other way. Whatever I'm doing the rest of the day is going to impact my yoga. And so if I'm just busy, 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 and again you can see why Daddy has this aversion to this word, busy. I say I'm busy, and yes, it's good things I'm doing, it's not bad things I'm doing, it's useful things I'm doing, but does my mind have to be on that level? I think it was in yesterday's blessing, or the day before. Baba saying that even when your work is ordinary, your activity is of this dimension, your thoughts don't have to be of this dimension. Your thoughts can be on another level. And some of you may have heard the story of Brahma Baba washing the clothes. But if you've heard it, it's fine. If you haven't heard it, it's a good story. Baba would sometimes join the children in the laundry. And the laundry wasn't one room. When they came, the days of Karachi were quite different. 7 different houses in which they were all scattered and living separately. And so coming to Abu was beautiful because it meant that the whole family was together under one roof. And Baba would join them for all the different activities. And Baba joining them for the laundry, it meant that they would be taking the clothes through the different stages, but it's something that comes up in the Sakarmurli that the laundrymen beat the clothes to get the dirt out. And here, they didn't beat the clothes with a stick, but what they did was take the cloth, the 6 yards of sari or however much it was, and they would hit it against the rocks. And that would take the dirt out. And yes, the clothes that weren't very strong would tear, which is something the Baba talks about. That if the soul isn't strong, then Baba's murli sometimes, Baba's intention is to clean the clothes, to clean the soul. But instead of managing that, sometimes the soul gets a little bit hurt. But that's because it isn't strong, and so the fabric isn't able to take it. But Baba was washing the clothes, and that's when this person who'd been sent as an assassin approached and stopped. Now Baba's not even in his official gear, he's washing clothes, so he's in his dhoti and he's just in one of those t-shirts, and he's engaged in that. But this guy comes and he sees Baba and he has a vision. And his intentions change completely. And he falls at Baba's feet, seeks forgiveness and explains what it is he had been sent to do. And Baba just gives him drishti and love and, okay child, never mind. And what do you think Baba was doing as he was washing those clothes? Do you think he was thinking about the news? Baba used to hear the news. What was he thinking about the news? Was he thinking about whether the others were washing things properly? Was he thinking about the clothes and whether it was going to get torn? Or was Baba thinking about Baba and just focusing on that light? And that's what gave the vision to the assassin. If Baba's mind had been on a mundane thing, on an ordinary level of thinking, what would have happened? Doesn't bear thinking about, does it? But the work is mundane. Baba's consciousness is up here, and there you go, the possibility of giving visions. And so what is my mind engaged with? Today Baba's saying, let your hands do the work and let your heart be with the beloved. Let your thoughts be with the beloved. And so am I able not just to keep my mind focused and concentrated on truth and reality and Baba when I'm meditating, but am I able to extend that through the day for longer and longer and longer periods so that I truly experience what Baba's talking about, Baba's companionship, the experience of being with God as I do all the things that I need to do. And so the quality of effort, and you can see that this is why I use this word hobby. If it's my hobby, it's something that interests me. I want to be with Baba as much as possible. I want to be able to experience the truth as much as possible. Then I'm going to be focused on that. I want to come to that state where, yes, I can be completely clean and pure. When we talk about perfection, sometimes it causes a strange feeling. How can a human soul be perfect? And maybe it's only the 8 jewels were really, truly perfect. Maybe it's whatever. But no, I want to come back to my own original state of purity, of being completely clean. And so my sanskars, having gone through the fire of yoga, but even before I get to the stage of the fire of yoga, I see those acquired sanskars coming up. And if I'm interested in spiritual progress, I'll be checking what's going on. And as I see those sanskars come up, I'll say, hold on, that's not the way I want to go. And where things go quick, and it's a habit of Kali Yuga, the end of Kali Yuga especially, everything has to be super fast. And here, Baba's saying, slow isn't bad. Pausing for a moment is good. Stopping for traffic control is valuable. It'll make sure that things stay on track and you stay moving in the right direction instead of slipping off in any other direction. And so that moment of pause and that checking, which sanskar is it that's coming up now? And not use it. Okay, it's still coming up in my mind and my thoughts, but first step, not to use it. And not using those sanskars means that their power gradually weakens, reduces. And the thoughts that start coming as my sanskars start changing are going to be more and more the pure, noble thoughts. Because my satupradhan stage and my pure thoughts are completely linked. But the other thing that I have to clean out, my feelings. What are the feelings that I'm still carrying? It's very interesting that the Hindi language, I haven't been able to find a translation for the word emotions. And so when we, not so much now, but before, a few years ago, when we'd say to Daddy, Daddy, what about emotions? How do we clean out those? And I now understood that the feelings are, this is my interpretation, thoughts, and then the patterns creating feelings, but deeper than the feelings. Feelings are very much connected with memories. Something triggers a memory, and sometimes it could be the physical senses that become the door for the trigger for the memory. I smell something. I hear some music. And it could be good memories, but equally it could be unpleasant memories. I smell something burning, and it brings back a very strong memory of something that's not very nice. I smell jasmine, and it brings back a memory of something very beautiful. So the triggers through my senses and my feelings are moved. And so on the one side, I'm giving attention to the quality of my thinking and changing my sanskaras, but also my memory and my feelings are coming in the way, and so I get thrown off track because of those things coming up. Fear. What is the trigger for fear? What is it that triggers comparison? And comparison and then jealousy, not far away from that. But just thinking about Belgium, Turkey, wherever, and the fear that must be around in the atmosphere must be horrendous. You don't know what's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and then of course it's not just in one place, but then that fear moves around, and whoever feels that they're on the danger list is going to be afraid. But for Brahmins also, never mind these external things that happen, what are the memories that I'm carrying within myself that's creating fear within me? When it's feelings, maybe I can identify at what point of time those feelings started. But emotions, it's even deeper than just feelings. And it's like memories that must be so deep down that it's like infancy, maybe. And so I don't even know anymore. I can't identify. But the cleaning of all of this has to happen. And I think that the only way it can happen is through God's love. I don't think it's possible to clean out all these other things any other way. And so when Baba's saying, you don't use me enough, I think that this is one of the things. But to be able to connect with Baba with that deep passion in my heart that I really want to be free, because to become pure is also to become free. Free from all of these other things that are influencing me at the moment. And so to take Baba's love to such an extent that I can feel I'm being liberated from everything. A sentence in today's Murali was very interesting, and that is how if somebody's been through a long period of illness and they're now at the moment of recovery, then it's a sense of freedom, a sense of liberation, and huge gratitude given that finally now I'm free from this. And so that state in which the soul has been really truly caught up with all these diseases, illnesses of the spirit, and now the point of liberation, Baba's given me such powerful medicine that I can be free from all of this, then truly that deep sense of love and gratitude for Baba. And the medicine that Baba says, the only medicine for the soul is God's remembrance, the remembrance of one. And so, what is effort? It's really just keeping my goal in front of me. Where is it that I'm headed? Where do I want to go? And if I keep my vision focused there, then the road is clear and I'll move forward. And even if I haven't been moving forward so smoothly until now, even then it's okay. Because Baba says, if at this moment you still say, Baba, this is what I would like to do, that one step of your pure thought and Baba's thousand steps of help coming to lift you, and you'll feel that, and the soul will move forward to that stage where, yes, it begins to feel that, yes, purity is truly, truly possible. I'm just simply moving towards my own original stage. Nothing more than that. And so, that process of cleansing, my sanskars, my mind, my thoughts, but deep, deep, my feelings and my emotions, connected very much with memory. Something that I've used continually, holding the memories of Madhuban, the memories of Baba, the memories of sweet experiences with the family, and emerging those to give me that upliftment that I would like within situations. There was a period when I couldn't come to Madhuban for a few years. And what kept me going was, this was early days, what kept me going was the memories of Madhuban. And I would just remember Madhuban and I would feel that upliftment, and whatever was the challenge of the situation would become secondary. And so use the powerful memories that Baba provides us with in Sangam Yuga to let yourself rise above whatever else it is that's happening. So no struggle, but smooth, easy journey to fly back to my original state. Om Shanti.